This meeting to order. Chris, would you take the role, please?
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Jones.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Sear.
Here. And we will start with an invocation from Reverend Karen Hernandez, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we give you thanks for air conditioning, for cool breezes, for cool streams, for the gift of water, for all of the ways that we find relief from the heat, and we pray for those who have no such relief, those who can't escape it, those who don't have the luxuries that many of us in this room know so well. God, we also give you thanks for newcomers to our community, for those who are discovering that this is a welcoming, joyful community to live in. We pray that those of us who have been here a bit longer would continue to open our arms to those who are moving in, that we would be grateful to receive them as new neighbors, and that we would indeed not just become a bigger town, but a bigger community connected to one another with love and willingness to help and reach out. God, we pray for our leaders gathered here, for the decisions made tonight, for all of those who are seeking to build and strengthen the community, to build relationships among those who call this place home. We pray that you would guide us to do that good work. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, if you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. And speaking of air conditioning, we know how to make these meetings shorter by just turning off the HVAC system, so I apologize if it gets a little stuffy in here tonight. First item on the agenda is the consent agenda.
Mayor, I would like to pull 4D off the agenda for discussion.
I'll second.
Okay, and add that as item 8E, if that's amenable.
8E?
8E.
Second stands.
Is there any other items on the consent agenda? Okay. We have a motion to pull item 4D from the consent agenda and move it as item 8E. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
If nothing else, I move we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as amended. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Sometimes I forget to do that. I like to do a roll call vote whenever we're approving things that have funding in them, such as our payables and that type of thing. So that's why I back up and do that once in a while. Item 5A, request for funds to hire a full-time economic person for the fiscal year 2018. Mike Smith with our CUNA Economic Development Committee is going to present for that. This is something that with the Economic Development Committee we have had a great deal of discussion about, and I'll let you take the floor, Mike.
Really, I just came to beg for rodeo grounds again. It's been a year now. I came tonight representing the Economic Development Committee, and as a committee, we've discussed it many times, and, you know, as a group of volunteers, we reach out to little restaurants and gas stations and a few little things, but we continue to notice other communities our size and some even smaller than us are going with a full-time economic city, and we have started to feel that we could use such a position here. We would like to approach council at this time to take a look at budgeting some funds for this person's salary benefits and creating a full-time position with the city of Keweenaw that would reach out to different businesses, different manufacturers, just anything that we can find to get some more good-paying jobs in Keweenaw. I believe that we really got the idea when someone from Mountain Home was here from their economic development. I was shocked that they had a full-time person, and they are, you know, haven't even reached the numbers population-wise, I don't think, that we have. I've also, it's come to my attention now, and I don't know that this is fact, but I've heard that they may have two people now.
They do.
What is that? That is fact. They do have two full-time economic development people. It seems like every time I go to a meeting in Canyon County, they've always got the person from NAMPA's Economic Development Committee, or you're not really from the committee, but the full-time position in Caldwell's. And I just kind of feel, and the committee feels, it's time to maybe look at creating that position within the city of Keweenaw. I believe, you know, we discussed some numbers, which you guys have probably already been presented. We were talking maybe like a $60,000 salary would probably be on the high end, plus benefits. So you know what you were looking at maybe putting in the budget. And I stand for questions.
We actually haven't presented any
okay.
numbers with that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. We've talked about it in our economic development meetings, that that's kind of where we feel to get somebody qualified and somebody that might maybe it would be great if we could hire one away from somebody else. I don't know if that's a possibility. I don't know a lot of economic development folks, but I just feel like it's time to get somebody working on our behalf all the time. You read every day about Youth Ranch building a big thing in Middleton, or as everybody knows, the Chobani thing in Twin Falls, and different things keep happening, and we seem to find out about them when we read about them. So we need somebody out there rattling their cages all the time if we want industry.
Okay, questions for Mike?
I have one, at least. Just so we have a better idea of the things you guys discussed, can you tell me some more about why you guys settled on full-time versus part-time, or...
I know the reason that I really felt it should be a full-time position is because I kind of feel that it should be somebody that's completely and totally dedicated, that we absolutely know that that's what they're working for all the time. I also personally, and we really haven't discussed this completely as a committee, I also feel that it needs to be a position that is up for review every year. Like maybe that person's under contract. We don't want to create just another position where a guy goes and sits at a desk and makes a few phone calls and we're happy with that. They need to be held accountable. You know, the proof's in the pudding. We want to see some results. We want to, maybe they have quarterly reviews with the city council. I believe we discussed that they would report to Wendy. I think that they need to have their feet to the fire all the time. This is a sales position. It's to sell CUNA, to sell businesses in CUNA, and you know, we don't need somebody relaxing.
Thank you.
Does that answer?
Yep.
Okay, further questions?
Mayor, I had a couple. Mike, as a member of the Economic Development Committee, do you think the Economic Development Committee as a whole would be interested in being part of that hiring process to ask that person the type of questions? I mean, I'm assuming with all your guys' backgrounds and that the members of the committee has to offer, would it be something you guys would like to be involved in and help, you know, making a recommendation, I guess, or something?
Yeah, we wouldn't be opposed to it and putting together the criteria. And actually, Wendy had already showed me some of the, you know, the job description, which, you know, before we expected you folks to put it in the budget, I mean, I think that's something you should probably review and add anything that you would see fit. I think as a committee, we should also probably look at the job description. As far as the interviewing process, we could have some input, but if the person actually, you know, reports directly to Wendy, I think maybe input, but maybe the final decision would probably be hers or whoever does the hiring for the city.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I was just more looking at the input side.
I mean, if I get a pick and it's process. Part-time, I'll just do it myself. I'll just start billing you every month.
you talked about possibly having somebody a little more experienced. Do you think that's a good value that we need to be able to have?
Absolutely. If we could steal one, that would be absolutely wonderful. Yep. If we could find somebody that had that background, I'm sure that I don't really – I'm not a very good recruiter, and especially in that type position, I really don't know where to look or where to start. But I would start with a city that has a full-time one that's doing pretty good, but maybe it's a crappy place to live. I mean, if I lived in Twin, I'd love to move to CUNY, you know?
One of the concerns I have is you know, CUNY obviously has a lot to offer, but we're still struggling with, you know, our comp plan. I don't think we've identified where we want the commercial. I mean, obviously, we're updating our comp plan at this time. There's a lot of stuff that we've added to our area of impact that we haven't zoned. I guess my concern is that are we putting the cart before the horse by hiring an advisor that maybe within 3 months Lance's big company, and then the company, and we tell them, well, it's going to be 2 years before we have any infrastructure out there. I'm just concerned that we're not having a plan, at least for the infrastructure. We've talked about urban renewal before. With not having that in place to obviously keep these people enticed with CUNA, I don't want to lose somebody because it can be 2 to 3 years before we can actually service them. Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, I agree with you, and Joe and I have talked about this many times. If the phone rang tomorrow and another company the size of the beef plant wanted a place to go and wanted to come to CUNA, we don't really have a place to put them. But I know how the wheels of government work. I figure if we start talking about the position now, by the time we get it approved, get it in the budget, our comprehensive plan committee starts meeting, I believe, this month. And we, you know, get to work on that. If we hired a guy tomorrow, yeah, the cart's in front of the horse. But I think as you guys take a little bit of time to think about it, and I'm not sure when your budget deadline is, is that coming up pretty quick?
Oh, we'll get it up in August.
Okay. So, you know, that's a couple months away. Let's say it takes 6 months to hire somebody, as long as it's in the budget for this next year. I agree with everything you're saying. Urban renewal is a big I'm a huge proponent of that in CUNA. Some of the urban renewals that have been done in the past haven't always served the citizens of the community as well as they should have. I think we have a good enough grip on things and what happened in the past that we need to probably get moving in that direction. Maybe if we find the right guy that can find the right companies, we can get somebody to pony up for some infrastructure that might not cost the city and the taxpayers the full amount. You know, it's, if you have a company coming and you can maybe match a few funds with urban renewal and some other things, plus maybe get them to kick some in. Places for these big companies to go are getting harder to come by all the time. We've got miles and miles of desert out there. I actually can't wait to start on the comprehensive plan committee because I have lots of ideas. They might be stupid ones, but I could draw you the lines on the map tomorrow where I think it should be full of nice big businesses.
And one thing that we have discussed is bringing an economic development person on staff sooner than later would actually be quite beneficial to the comprehensive plan to allow them to have some input into that comp plan, help be a part of the design of it. And
another thing is maybe they're talking to somebody that said, you know, maybe they have a little bit of a feel for what needs to be done and how many acres are needed. And, you know, I really don't know, but I do know that currently, there's not very many places to stick something that's just not another retail place. If we're looking to create some manufacturing jobs and production jobs and that type stuff, we've got to have some place to put them.
Well, I would say I would be, and myself would be in support of what you're wanting to do, especially with your ideas of having reports and holding somebody's feet to the fire to show the progress.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's a good thing. It's a win-win for everybody if we can get more commercials. So.
Yeah, I think the other good thing about it, too, is I personally believe that an economic development person can pay for that position by
absolutely.
Having them there.
Yes, absolutely.
The issues that we've run into in the past, I made the there was a company interested in moving out into the industrial area out there. I made some phone calls, found properties and the owners and the prices, and we do some of those things. Boise Valley Economic Partnership will send out these notices that somebody's looking for something. I sent those out, and within 2 weeks they told me that that information was outdated because people out there had swapped properties around for different other properties, and so if you're not on top of it within 2 weeks, you're behind it. And
see, another thing you have to do, Joe, is you have to call them. You have to buy it before you call them. Once they think something's interested, you know, that weed patch is all of a sudden worth a lot more money.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that need to be done, and I think everybody's concern is how our community evacuates every day, and the more jobs we can keep in CUNA, as we continue to build homes and continue to build homes, we just need places for those people to go to work every day. Any more questions, anybody?
I think Mike was suggesting we send Wendy per diem with a mileage to recruit out of Mountain Home. Is that what you said?
You know, I think we need to think bigger. Mountain Home isn't really gaining on us near as much as the Magic Valley is. Maybe Burley. We'll send her to Burley.
Are you saying Mountain Home's not far enough to send her?
I think that's it.
I don't want to say that if they're keeping records of what I said.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike. So kind of the purpose of this tonight was to present it, see if council was at least interested in looking at it, and if you are, we'll put something together to present at budget time for further discussion.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm going to head out and go somewhere where the air conditioning works.
There you go.
Thank you.
Next item is request for funds of $4,500 for fiscal year 2018 for the CUNA Arts Commission. Roddy Sodono, CUNA Arts Commissioner.
Well, it's Soldano, but...
That's what I tried to say, only it just wouldn't come out of my mouth.
Hi, good afternoon, council members. My name is Roddy Soldano with Synchronized Photography. I'm a photographer here in CUNA. I've been here for 7 years, and can't tell you how incredibly blessed I am. I'm a newly appointed to the Arts Commission, and we're excited. We have the most energy I've seen on an Art Commission, and I've seen other Art Commissions, and everybody's ready to go. So we're looking for funding for $4,500 to really kick it off. One of the things that I know, first impression is, irreplaceable. You can't get it back. It's seldom that you get a do-over whenever you have something going on. The reason why we're asking for the funding is to actually establish that right off the gate. We want to present people who would visit or want to live first time out with an enjoyable presentation of what we have to offer here in CUNA. We're looking at, just to break it down, $1,000 to pay artists and performers for the summer events and other events that arise. $2,000 for media, ads, printing, you know, Facebook, and other things. And we're looking for $500 in facility janitorial services to pay for those, you know, as we clean up and stuff. And $1,000 for sponsorship, meet and greet, quarterly displays and such, like they have here in City Hall. One of the things that the vision that we have is a lot of us have had our due diligence on what we've seen successful throughout the United States. I mean, Ashland comes to mind because anywhere you go on the Western Seaboard, they're known for their art. I mean, they've got artists, and they started out no bigger than CUNA, no bigger than CUNA. And what we're looking for is that same path. We're looking to have somebody come in and go, where's CUNA? Where did we see this? We're looking forward to that. And so in order for us to facilitate that dream and that vision of actually facilitating the revenues generated by that excitement here and people talking about CUNA, you know, that'll help facilitate that position that he just spoke about, you know, if we can get some type of generation going on. But in order to do that, we're going to need the backing of the council to see what we can do in order to facilitate that. The one thing that I will say is that I know money is tight, and I do know that with proper spending and the guidance that we have, especially with the vision of the council of where we want to go with CUNA, that correlation with the foundation setting us up for the first time out, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to being a part of something that's great. But like I said, I've been here 7 years, and I've seen it going from, I think it was 8,000-10,000 people, and it's moving fast. We're going to be outpaced by Mountain Home, was it? But I don't want to see that happen. I actually want to see us provide that to people in the surrounding areas before somebody else does. And so with that, if I can get any questions, I'd gladly take them.
Okay, questions for Ronnie.
Mayor, I just had one question.
Yeah.
Ronnie, you suggested $1,000 for artists' performance.
Yeah.
Are you talking to pay the artists themselves or to pay venues so the artists can display?
It's actually kind of both. Me personally, I think it should be higher. And let me explain why. $1,000 will get you artists here coming here. The average artist actually will say, I will perform for 2 hours at $200, and that's it, which is good. That's actually great. And in doing so, we can facilitate maybe three bands or four bands, but then we're going to need the media in order to get that. To pay for the quality that we want to have, to me, it's critical. You know, we can have the high school guys who are up and coming and stuff like that. But honestly, if you think about it, when you bought a TV, you went out and got name brand, and it was a little bit more than you're going to get out there. But you still pay for the name brand because they've already established themselves as pretty good. Well, we want to do that as well. That's what we're looking for. So $1,000, I know it seems a little much. In the industry, it's not. It's actually kind of like just below middle. And so what we're asking for is $1,000, so that way we can have that venue that people will expect, especially if you want to make that first impression.
So I guess my question will go more towards you're looking to money to hold an event more than to encourage artists to come. Because, I mean, for example, I know that Boise offers a grant for their artists to help pay for their actual product that is a tangible item that can be, you know, displayed. I'm just a little hesitant to have another venue that after the event's over, I mean, as much as it is great to have the artists, what, you know, I would, and just my opinion, I mean, art to me would be more towards, you know, like displays you have in here and stuff like that, or somebody designing an entry to our city more than just a venue with bands and stuff like that we have promoters that are willing to do that without having to use city funds for that. And that's where my...
Chris, you have a comment?
Yeah. Excuse me, Council Member Jones. If I can just clarify a little bit, the conversation that occurred during the commission meeting on this particular subject was the discussion that when there's a larger event that is promoting all types of artists, performing artists, painting artists, display artists, that there is some small funding available to compensate them for their either their performance or their display, you know, along those lines. So it's not about renting the facility as much as it is compensating the artist to come and perform, whether it be music, a play, poetry, painting, photography, you know, those kind of things. If that helped clarify a little bit.
Yeah, I have an idea of what I think is being discussed. So.
Okay.
It's really something. When I first started out in photography, you know, everybody wants you to come over because you got a camera and you're doing good work. But eventually, it starts to get old. You feel like, you know what, I'm worth more than this. Well, but that's only as I got better. And the same thing, if we're having, like as Chris says, you know, we're creating larger venues. We really want good bands here because the last thing you want to have is, you know, mediocrity, you know, in combination with that. You want quality music. And so in order to do that and facilitate that, especially the ambiance that it presents, as people are going from exhibition to exhibition and they're going around, I think that ambiance of, I'm leaning more towards the musicians and such that we bring in for the venues. It's important. You really want to have that because they have their own draw as well. And like I said, you know, a couple hundred dollars, it just adds up, you know, especially when you're bringing two or three artists. That $1,000 can eat beaten up within two venues really easy. So $1,000 right now is what I'm thinking. Hopefully you guys will see, find it. You know, and I will say this, the way we're looking for is we want to do our part too to help facilitate that. So right now we're looking at just getting the jump start, and then as we progress in our duties, we actually want to help contribute to that. So that way we're not asking for as much funding because we're just getting started, but we are asking for your help.
Okay, further questions?
Mayor. Ronnie, once you start paying, you're going to have less and less volunteers willing to come out and play. Do you realize that? They're all going to want to get paid.
Right. I agree with that to a certain extent. Musicians who are up and coming know they got to pay their way. In other words, they've got to pay their dues. So the people that are established, they actually say, like for these musicians, I actually photograph a number of them throughout Boise. I do their album covers and their CD covers. Excuse me, I'm dating myself. But when they understand that the under people that are riding their coattails, if they can get in with this artist, they're going to get seen. So I do agree with you to some degree that, you know, they're going to want to get paid. Well, the top people are the ones that we're looking for the draw, but there are plenty of people that actually want to take part of those coattails. So you will have those volunteers for that. So, but yes, like I said, there is some merit to what you just said.
$1,000 in today's market isn't going very far. I think, you know, Ronnie, because at the Elks Lodge, a good example, to get a three-piece band in there, we're talking $100 an hour, and they play for 3 hours, you're out $300. So just $1,000 doesn't go very far in today's economy.
That's true. That we're not having a lot of events. I think we're looking at summer and winter. And so in those venues, we're looking at, you know, some distribution. At the same time, we're going to be contributing to that as well. So we will be able to bring in a little bit higher dollar entertainer or entertainers. The people that I know that are amazing out there, Rebecca Scott, I mean, I can just give you a list of people that have played with, names that traveled throughout the world, actually. They have actually acknowledged that they will actually come to CUNA and, you know, play for us $200 an hour for two hours. And I'm honored to have them. I just can't believe that they would do that for me. I'm not saying that going forward that's going to happen all the time. But to help us kick it off, I think it's amazing. It's an amazing gesture on their part. So, you know, I do agree with you that at some point, you know, they're going to say that they want more. But honestly, if we're just getting started and we get the draw that we have, think about that. Ashland is huge. And they started out the same way. Once they started putting in more and more into quality, they got bigger and bigger. And the revenues for the city is amazing when it comes to the draws when they have their venues.
One last question. Okay. How long before you come before the city council wanting a facility?
As soon as possible. I actually, you know what, I sat on one of your meetings, was about a year and a half ago, and I heard you all talk about the direction you want to go at CUNA. I want to be part of that. We all do. The entire council is looking forward to that. we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that that comes to flourish. And we know that with a visual-based society that we are now, it is huge. And in order to do that, entertainment is part of it. And we just want to make sure that we're fulfilling that role, but we do need the quality in order to do it.
I think we've got a undeveloped green belt that has a lot of potential there. If we just, for our size city in our community, one time, and I can't remember how long, maybe the council remembers, we had a Eagle Scout that was going to build some kind of a pavilion or backstage, and it never materialized. But we definitely need that if you're going to have some kind of entertainment consistently. The American Legion facility there just isn't, it's not situated properly for sound or for a crowd. So
yeah, that was about 4 or 5 years ago when that project kind of got shot down because that was railroad property.
Yeah, I've been told that a couple of times. I actually see
and we'll be talking later. About that later.
Okay.
Anyway, so my dreams are to see an amphitheater here in CUNA. I would love to see that venue. But if there's any more questions, I hope I presented this well enough to get your votes for this and go forward.
Here, I'm just going to do one more real fast.
Sure.
So just for clarification, you're not looking for any funding for actual art exhibits throughout the town, just for entertainment funding for this year?
Well, we have allocated, like I said, you know, we actually have it positioned out. So, you know, when we say the artists and performers, I think I can speak, Chris.
The intent of the commission is to promote performing art, actual arts, like artists, painters, photographers. It's all aspects of art. So it's not...
So performing arts more than visual art.
I'm sorry, what?
Performing arts more than visual art.
Yes.
No, they're equating them all equally.
Well,
the commission equates all aspects of the art. So performing art, visual art, standing art, all types. Displays, events, you know, just the whole spectrum. So that was the commission when we worked, you know, when they worked on the budget. That was their direction, is they want to look at everything. They want to promote and offer opportunity to all types of artists, performing and physical. So.
Thank you, Mayor.
Any further questions for Ronnie?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ronnie. Appreciate it very much. And so I think it'd be important to note, too, this is also their attempt at a startup to get this thing going. So it'll take them a little while to get things set up and moving, but appreciate all you guys are doing for us for that. Next item is request for matching funds to continue the CUNA Middle School after-school program in the fall of 2018. Kathy Geely.
Handouts? All right. Thanks, Ken. Okay. Kathy.
And Kathy is the CUNA Middle School After School Program Administrator. Do you get to knock that down to the acronym, or do you have to say the whole thing?
I haven't tried. I just want to share with you a little bit about the CUNA Middle School Program. And as the two people before me, I went to ask for some money. The mission in the brochure that I just handed you, that's our promotional brochure. The mission of our program is to provide unique out-of-school time opportunities for CUNA youth to learn, improve academically, explore and exercise in a constructive, safe place. The goals of the program are to improve academic achievement, social skills, and behaviors of participants, to improve family involvement and parenting skills, to encourage healthy living, and to reduce crime and delinquency. The program is funded by the 2013 award of the Idaho 21st Century Community Learning Center 5-year grant. We're entering our 5th year, and we are now at 70% of our original funding. While we expect to apply for the grant again, it is unusual for these grants to be refunded. There will be a lot of returning applicants this round. We expect another 25 applicants to apply for refunding. And the proposed Trump budget cuts all federal funding for after-school programs. So the 21st century is funded through what used to be the No Child Left Behind Act. it's federal funds that are administered by the State Department of Education. It has been refunded this year, so we'll make it through our fifth year. For these reasons, I'm looking for other sources of funds to keep the program going beyond June of 2018, and I'm asking the City Council to consider contributing $10,000 to the CUNA Middle School After School Program for fiscal year beginning in October of 2018. Based upon our first 4 years, I expect we can run the program at its current level for about $110,000 a year. 90% of that cost is personnel, primarily certified teachers, to help tutor, help with homework, and provide enrichment activities. I hire 5 certified teachers on a part-time basis and 5 certified teachers from the middle school that help tutor after school. I also have 2 peer mentors, they're high school students, and 2 aides. But all positions are part-time except for mine. I'm a full-time, mine's a full-time job. I find that certified teachers have the training and expertise we need to work with the middle school students who participate in our program. All 7th and 8th graders in the CUNA School District are welcome, but we target certain students. We target those on free and reduced lunch, those scoring well below average on academic assessments, and English language learners. Briefly, during this past school year that just ended, we had 250 students that visited the program at least once. 130 students registered in the program. 70 students attended the program at least 30 days, and our average daily attendance was 35 students. Roughly half are 7th and half are 8th grade, half are girls and half are boys. We had 9 ELL, English language learners, 6 migrants and 4 immigrants, 7 homeless students. Of the students that we have, of the 250 that visited, 45% are on free and reduced lunch, 70% are not white, and 21% are in a special program like special education, or they call it a 504, it's a behavior plan. So those are my numbers. But besides the numbers, over the past 4 years, we serve students who are victims of abuse, perpetrators of abuse, from failed adoptions, living in shelters, living with drug and alcohol abuse, living in jobless homes, living with grandparents, aunts, uncles, foster families, students whose parents are incarcerated, students who have protected one parent from a violent one, students who have been expelled from school for disruptive behavior, students who have been suspended from school for drug possession, students who have threatened themselves, other students, members of their families, their teachers, students whose mothers died of breast cancer. What I see our students need most is more time with a caring adult, and the CUNA Middle School program, after school program, does that. The most important thing we do with our students is to build relationships, to connect them to the school and to their community. We meet each day there is school, Monday through Thursday, from last bell until this year it'll be 6 o'clock because they just set up an early release on Wednesday. So we're changing our hours a little bit. We begin in the cafeteria with a snack provided by food service and then move to what we call STARS, studying, tutoring, and reading time in the library and in teacher classrooms. At 4:15, we begin enrichment activities. Many students choose to continue to work on their homework, and our teachers support them as long as they need. Some examples of our enrichment activities include robotics, cooking, hunter's ed, photography, bicycle project, arts and crafts, and we have a physical activity every day. We have a lot of great partners who work with us in providing program, and we are always looking for new opportunities for our students. We do have a Facebook page and a website connected to the CUNA Middle School if you'd like more information. I invite you to visit our program anytime when there's school. We participate each year in the National Lights On After School program, and we'll have an event at CUNA Middle School Thursday, October 26th at 5 o'clock. We do have a community advisory board, and the mayor sits on our advisory board. Our next meeting is Tuesday, August 8th at noon in the CUNA Library, and you're welcome to attend that as well. Thank you for your time and for your consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, questions?
I have a quick one. I just wanted to clarify, you said your request was for our funding, any funding we authorized to kick in effective October 2018, is that right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect, thank you.
Funding for this grant will end June 30th, 2018.
Okay.
So I have a little bridge there, but I'm talking to a lot of different people for sources of funds. So
I appreciate approaching us soon, because that's technically fiscal year 19 for us, but it gives us the opportunity, if we wanted to try to start figuring stuff out now,
Chris,
or that sort of thing.
Now's the time to apply.
Oh, yeah. So
to ask. Thank you. Any other questions?
Real quick, on the funding, is there a date that you have to have it by, though, in order to start the program in October?
I would need a commitment by the end of June.
But
of 2018.
Of next year.
Okay. But we could actually, since you're starting in October, fund it out of the following fiscal year, since that starts October 1st.
Yes.
And that would still be in time for you to have the funds that you need.
Yes, and I should mention too that the CUNA School District is the fiscal agent for this program.
Okay.
Now, I will also mention that if we apply for and do not receive the federal funding, the grant from the 21st Century Community Learning Center, that actually gives us a little bit more flexibility in the kind of program that we offer, because we don't have to meet quite all of the federal guidelines and regulations. Although there are good reasons for many of those guidelines and recommendations, we would have a little bit more flexibility, although I still wouldn't turn it down.
Do you know when that answer would come to you?
We will write that application in December. It will be submitted in January, and we should know mid-April next year if we've been refunded.
Okay.
But again, the statistics are not good for refunding.
Yeah.
And they're especially not good when the all after-school programs are cut from the existing proposed budget in Congress.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Richard?
Mayor.
Thank you. Kathy, I've got a quick question. Sorry. Is the CUNA School District supporting you, or are you anticipating funds from the CUNA School District?
The CUNA School District is incredibly supportive. They provide a large amount in terms of matching funds.
Okay.
They provide us a building to meet. They provide our, the office supplies that we need. They provide ID cards for our students. I have tremendous support from the administration at the school district and in the building.
Are you anticipating any financial aid from the CUNA School District?
I have made that request.
To the school board?
Not yet to the school board, because this will be like, this would be there next year.
Okay.
So I'm getting my ducks lined up.
Okay.
If you have any suggestions on how I can improve my taut little show here, I'd appreciate it. And if you have ideas of other sources of funds that I might consider, I would really appreciate that too.
Okay. One last question. Since this ends at 6 o'clock, how do the students get home, because the bus service has already left the schools?
We, in our current program, we do not provide transportation. So most of our students walk.
Okay.
Many of our other students are picked up by their
parents.
Families.
Thank you, Kathy.
Kathy, thank you so much for your passion for helping the children and the things you do with the bicycle program and also all the things you do for the city. So
can I tell him? I got an AmeriCorps member. I got an award for an AmeriCorps member to come and do the bicycle project.
All right.
I'm so excited. They start September 5th. But I just have to hire someone. But they'll do the bike project. I'm really excited about that too.
Good.
Thank you. If you guys have any questions, and please feel free to stop by anytime. You can call. If you call ahead, I'll be there. If you don't call, you'll just take us the way you find us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Just for clarification there, this was a $10,000 request?
Yes.
Okay.
And also it was a $110,000 total cost, but they're asking for 10. Next item, Ada County Prosecutor's Office funding request for fiscal year 2018. As Tamara Kelly is not here. Okay, we will skip over that one unless, John, do you have that information? Did you want to?
6A.
I think it was
6A.
Make the chief put another
hand
on.
Oh, yeah, we do have it in there. Right there. Yeah, so, and as usual with the prosecuting attorney's office, this is more just a breakout of their costs and our bill based on
what service we use. So I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, John? Or?
No, I'll just keep it real brief. Mayor and Council, for the record, John, City Treasurer. And so within your packet, of course, you have the lead letter from Tamara Kelly, the Ada County Prosecutor's Office, as well as a little graphical information of a six-year history of the cost versus revenues, fine revenues. So really, it's just more or less so you can visualize how things have gone over the past and correlate the expenditures versus the revenues. So I'll leave it at that. I think it's pretty self-explanatory in Ms. Kelly's letter. So any questions for me?
What was last year's allotment to them?
Last year we had $50,794, and this year they're asking $52,552, so 3.5% increase.
Thank you, John.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Next, we have Kuna City Police Fiscal Year 2018 Budget Presentation. Police Chief John McDaniel, you get to take your first stab at asking council for money.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I appreciate this opportunity. I want to start by saying, before I was blessed with being able to take the chief job, I was working in a different bureau, kind of supporting the cops in the street and the court services bureau, and working with some attorneys at the courthouse, judges, and trying to help our jail population, keeping the right person in jail and the right person out of jail. And so I was out of the police world, the day-to-day police world for about 6.5 years. And I will say, coming back, I in October it'll be my 24th year with the sheriff's office. And when I trained out in CUNA back then, and I got to work out here at different times. But when I started, I think CUNA was right around 2000. And as we're right at 20 now, so obviously everybody here has seen just a ton of change. And one of the things I wanted to say too is I was kind of shocked after not being in the police world for that long that, it's a lot of neat things are happening because of this growth. Lots of opportunities at several different parts of the city. What I'm kind of shocked by is just the what also comes with this growth is how the calls have changed. I mean, just this year, one of my deputies has been involved, unfortunately, in two police-involved shootings in an 8-month period. In the last 2 weeks, we've had an armed robbery at the Jacksons and Chevron. And this week, we took another aggravated assault with a gun involved. And it's getting to be what used to be more of a rarity is getting to be more of a common call. And I wish that wasn't the case. And so I come to you, looking at the last, I think it's been about 8 years since there's been any kind of increase on the police side. So I do ask for request funding for one patrolman for each side of the week. So each sergeant has they work opposite days. And that would allow them to, right now they have four deputies for 24-hour coverage for a town of 20,000 with a sergeant as well. And I would give them five. It would give us an additional day shift. Right now our day shift officers here from 5 until right around noon. We did quite a bit of staffing studies as far as planning the research department, do some, when our calls for service all are and what types, and when we really need to put our staffing, so we try to put a lot of effort into where we staff our people instead of just our hunch or our gut, and we really have to staff them officer safety-wise and just the level of call towards the evening, and that's why that day shift guy. So an additional fifth officer would give us a mid-morning shift that would come in probably around 9 to 10 o'clock, and we do see that the calls for service during that morning time really, really start to pick up at about 9, and so for 3 hours, we definitely need more than the one deputy that's on duty. I also asked for help for our two detectives next summer. The additional funds would allow for one of our three school resource officers that normally lead the city of CUNA when the school district is not paying for them, and they go fill other roles that we had during the summer, whether it be boats or dirt bikes or help out patrol, and we'd be able to keep one of those people for juvenile enforcement they could also help out with everything from our referrals to there gets to be a lot of issues that come up during the summer with when the kids have a lot of extra time on their hands, and we'd like to be more proactive than we're able to be right now. If you look at our annual summary on page 220 of your packet, it looks like this. Again, you'll see there hasn't been an increase for 8 years, and during that same 8 years, from 2008 till 2016, we had a 27% increase in population. We're now at 0.7 officers per 1,000. You know, and we don't need to be at the Idaho average of 1.6 by any means, but we would like to be closer to that one, you know, work towards that number instead of the other direction. And I also want to say, you know, between 2008 and 2014, that six-year period that's on that graph, our population only increased in those 6 years 1,240. The next 2 years in a row, 2015 and 16, we increased about the same amount each year, and I believe we're about ready to see some growth that might even be more aggressive than that. When I started at the sheriff's office again almost 24 years ago, City of Meridian was at 13,000, and they are. I was just talking about some animal control issues with some of their staff over there, and they just passed the 100,000 mark. They're officially a city, you know, and they, from the town to the city, and they, that growth has come with, a lot of challenges. We actually had a great conversation about everything from code enforcement onward, and I look at us as, you know, we have some great opportunities here. We're at 20,000, and how do we grow smartly to where we can continue to be that town that attracts not just the economic development, but the families that want to live and play and stay in CUNA when they have those recreational opportunities. Being new to the job, I also looked at some peer cities and their police budgets. The cities that were close to our population, but a little bit less, that I looked at were Blackfoot, Burley, Chubbuck, Jerome, and Mountain Home. The closest was about 4,000 less, and it went all the way down to about 10,000. And the average cost per resident for those five cities was just right around $200 per resident is what those cities are spending. You'll see also on that, on page 220, that we're at $84. So I really believe that, not only are we, providing, I'd like to believe, a real high level of service, but I think we're doing it for a cost that is a bargain. When you look at the cost for the deputies at first glance, it's maybe an eye opener. I do have to point out that the specialized support staff the contract includes, and that our deputies are constantly using, and that includes two code enforcement officers, five gentlemen in our vehicle shops. Our cars, we ride those pretty hard, and it is really nice to have something fixed in just a couple hours. They also have a full machine shop in there, so they can do a lot of things that normally would have to go outside. We have two legal advisors, one that I, used yesterday and today, three in our media and PIO departments. We have three in our planning and research, and our fusion center, which is the intel sharing for the Valley. We have four victim witness coordinators, seven in our human resources department. Hiring a police officer is it's a several month process, and we spend a lot of money before we even they start the first day. An enormous amount of money with the background. We hire about 1.5 out of 100. That costs a lot of money. Our records department, there's tens of people in our records department, but that is something that our police department would normally be required to do. We have two in our information technology, two in our crisis intervention team. Mental health is becoming more and more of an issue, and so I really appreciate that the sheriff has two full-time deputies that are just dealing with the mental health issues, and they come out quite often. Five on our NARC team, we have one on our gangs team, and five on our action team. Our action team's problems in the neighborhood, and so when we have a problem, whether it's or a special event like CUNA Fun Days, our CUNA Days, we are able to bring them out and utilize their services without any additional cost. We have three in our CS, our crime scene investigation team, and our crime lab full-time, and 24 on our Metro SWAT team. It's one of your sergeants that's the commander of that Metro SWAT team, and then 12 on our hostage negotiation team. And I'd be amiss if I didn't also mention the fact that we have 30 on the two different sides of the week, 15 on each side of the week between day swings at night that are South County Patrol, so they're you know, patrolling that in unincorporated areas. And when we have those major incidents like the armed robbery, we get that immediate support right away. And instead of leaving once it's code 4 and officer safety is fine, they'll stick around for hours and really help us with that investigation so we can get somebody that needs to be behind bars. And so with that, I stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Chief?
I just have a clarification. In looking at some of the stuff in our packet, I just want to clarify. So are you asking for, it looks like two deputies, a car, and a .25 SRO is like your
correct
wish list?
That's the wish list,
okay. And then if you had to prioritize, it's listed in here, like it looks like two deputies and a car are the most important thing, and the .25 SRO is, like, if we can work it, is that?
Yes.
Or are they all kind of?
Well, our detectives are, and patrol. I think the juvenile problem in the summer especially, it seems like I get the feedback from the sergeants and the deputies that we have definitely our share of latchkey kids, and, you know, and some are, you know, that proactive, positive trust that we can build when we have time to have some interaction with them when it's not an enforcement situation. Is valuable. You know, I would love to, you know, I think the plans for that officer would be to not only help out with the level of service that we're able to deliver from our detectives that, frankly, in the summer, it's really hard for them to even keep up with all the health and welfare referrals, their investigations, because crime tends to kind of go up in the summer. And so they're extremely busy. So the plans would be to have that person a little bit of bike time when they have some proactive, you know, opportunities, yeah. and helping out with investigations as well.
Okay. And just as a side note, I want to say thank you for all the great work that you and your staff do. I know you read that huge list of additional services and things that we have access to as a result of our contract. And I've toured, like, the victim services building and seen, you know, dispatch and just all the different really cool extra things that we get that we wouldn't be able to afford if we were doing our own police. So I really appreciate all the things we get from Ada County as gravy on top of our contract. So
I appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Oh, you're welcome. And I think it's a win-win for the citizens as well. And I wanted to point out too, when you look at so Cache County actually contracts the city of Burley. And I think Burley's around 11,000 people. And in fiscal year 16, their budget was $1.47 million for 11,000 people. And that is that's a county, Cache, that has just a little bit more in total, I think about 3,000 more people than the city limits of CUNA has. And so you can imagine the sheriff's office, the resources, that list that I read you, I don't know if they literally had any of those, because it's a real small county that doesn't have a ton of resources. And so, again, for just a little bit more money, we are able to offer quite a bit more. And we just ask after that 8 year, I think, you know, talking to Chief Dussault, and this is something that he understands the situation the city was in the last couple years. It is also something he wanted to present a couple years ago.
I have one final question, then I'll stop. Do you know whether county commissioners are likely to approve a COLA?
They presented, the sheriff presented last week, and there's no word yet. I think we won't know for about another month. So John and I and the mayor will be, as soon as I get any word at all, I'll definitely let you know, so that can be put in there.
Perfect.
I tried for inside info on that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I think John's very optimistic. I see you put in a 4% COLA here.
No, 0 to 4. You know, I think just Justin told Chief Dussault told me that one of the years he didn't put that in there, and I think on the back end of this causes some headache for everybody, and so we're just trying to give all those options out there, but yes, definitely optimistic.
One other question on the, and it's just, I've never understood it. How you guys figure it out, but I'm sure you got an equation. The shared services credit goes up drastically with two deputies in a car, two deputies a car, and SRO. Why is that? Are you anticipating less response from the South Ada County Sheriff's Department?
So if you don't mind, I'd like to call up Nolan Presnell just to respond to that. But I will say this, and I'm really pleased to announce that our Sheriff's Services credit used to change every single year. And it was really hard to predict which way it was going to go. And the sheriff has agreed that, you know, with our contract cities, we will, that's going to be a flat 7%. So it will not change. And that's why I would ask for Nolan's help, because that's not changing, I guess I don't understand why there would be, if you don't mind, Nolan coming up. Nolan works for the Sheriff's Office in our finance department.
So Nolan Presnell for the record. Yeah, the credit goes up because it's a flat 7% on total costs. So the higher the cost, the higher the credit.
So irregardless of the shared responses, we'll get a 7% flat.
Yeah, and it's assuming that with more deputies, there'll be more responses outside of the city of Kingman, more responses into the city of Kingman, and kind of balances
out. So the sheriff is anticipating our policemen responding more outside the city then?
At the same rate, the same 7% rate.
I think it's, if we are to add two deputies, then there's just more people and therefore more of a chance that somebody would respond. Since it's still 7%, I don't think it's an expectation that we would be responding more but not getting credit for it.
Okay.
I would like to say that we, this year, if we would have kept it at the shared services level that changes each year, we would have, this is the year that, you know, would have, because of course with us not adding deputies for that long, we would have been hit. It would have been under that 7%.
Yeah, the old credit was based off calls for service. So when calls for service went up, while deputies stayed the same, it caused the credit to go down. So you were getting charged more for it. Whereas now we're at a flat 7%, so it's beneficial to the city, you know, by going to that flat 7%.
Okay. One last question. Why does an unmarked car, is a third less operating as opposed to a marked car? You're looking at unmarked 5357 and a marked car 15,254.
So the unmarked cars are typically on four Tauruses or non-police rated vehicles, and on, they don't have all the same equipment as a police rated vehicle. So they're significantly less expensive to operate. We can also run them for 8 years, whereas the police vehicles are only run for 5.
What is an unmarked car used for as opposed to a marked car? A police car is a marked car. Mm-hmm. What is an unmarked car for?
It's a detective vehicle.
Detectives, okay.
Okay. And that's how they catch you.
All the police cars are pursuit rated compared to on my cars and not pursuit rated.
Yeah.
Okay. Mayor, I have one question. Chief, going back to the number of officers per 1,000 population.
Yes.
Your desire is to have one per 1,000 residents.
That's the goal, yes.
Okay. Well, I think it's a good goal. I mean, in our current comp plan, that is a desire to have one officer per resident, per 1,000 residents. Based on that information, we're looking at probably easy the next 5 years, we're probably adding two officers per year to catch up to that, because you're showing 13 currently going to 15.
Yes, we actually did a projection. I can give that to you. I have a copy for Chris as well. If I may approach.
Sure.
So here's a projection. So what Nolan did in this one was he.
Thank you.
Oops, sorry.
Be careful with that phone.
So at the same rate that we had grown through the recession, if you look at that line, I believe it's the green line, he projected it out at that same exact rate. That would put us in 5 years at right around 22,500. And we could grow that, you know, just depending on how things go, we could almost grow that, in a year or two. And we could, and that's why I did add the red line at the 30 mark. You'll see that it seems like that's feasible when you look at the growth once we start, unless we hit another recession. It seems like things are going to keep booming, and so trying to get ahead of that, put together a plan for the next 5 years, and that's quite a guess as far as what we really need. I mean, right now the detectives have asked me a couple times, will you please ask for a detective? I know patrol has to be first, and they agree because they see it, hear it, and they at times try to go out and help them. And I'm obviously, that's why I'm in uniform. I'm helping as well. I mean, we're all a team there, and we all signed up for the same thing. But at the same time, the detectives want to. And in today's world, it's getting more complicated to investigate these crimes. And prosecution has, as they should have, has really high expectations. And so you have to generate a lot better product than when I started 24 years ago. I'll say that. And with that, it just takes more time. And I see us on our calls, things are getting more convoluted, more dangerous, and frankly, just takes more time to do it right, which is the way we do things. So I think our next request would be for a detective. And what I was hoping with this summer help was that we could kind of buy some time with that, just for those 3 months that they're out of school, and keep one of those SROs here in CUNA. But I would say for sure next year I'd be asking for a detective at least.
And even at that rate, we're still 33% less than the idle average of 1.6 per 100 per 1,000. So even going an accelerator rate to get caught up, we're still way below what the national or the state average is. So
yes, I've been looking, and I may be speaking way out of turn, just very preliminarily, because I'm learning what potential options are out there. But I think somehow the growth, when you add not only the fact are we behind the ball on the amount of officers per 1,000, but also on a police station, on facilities, because as we grow, the old district office is not going to be. I look back to where Marine was when they were at 20,000 and how quick they went to 30. I think we really are set up to not be that, much slower than how they grew. And so how do we get ahead of this? I think we have to get really creative. I'm really looking forward to the comp plan meetings to talk about, is there a way that we can have the growth pay for things like a police station? So,
well, thank you.
Very good. Further question?
I think we put him through the ringer long enough. He looks nervous, worn out.
I'm sweating under here. I'm sweating.
We've been wearing him out since he got to CUNA. So.
I've been busy. It's been fun. I'm really enjoying it. It's been an absolute blessing. So.
Chief, thank you very much. Thank Appreciate you. All you and your officers do for us.
Mm-hmm. Mayor, I think Ms. Kelly's here.
Yes. So, Tamara Kelly, if you would like to come up. We already talked about you just a little bit, but nothing bad. So.
I apologize for being late.
You're fine.
Mayor and members of the City Council, I sent a letter June 8th in regard to the request from the Ada County Prosecutor. Jan Bennett told me that she wanted to be here tonight, but couldn't because she had another engagement. And so our request this year is $52,552. One thing that you probably noticed about the letter that I sent you this year is that we are asking for a bit more than we've asked previously, and the number of misdemeanor cases went down. Overall, there was a fairly large decrease in misdemeanor cases filed by my office in the last fiscal year. And so that decrease, I think, affected the decrease of CUNA cases, and so it just made prosecution for each case a little more expensive. Last year, October 1, we did increase our starting salary. So all people that work in the misdemeanor division are basically paid the same amount, and it's our starting salary. We moved it from $55,000 to $58,000, basically. And so that also caused an increase in basically the labor costs for the attorneys. And so really that's the reason for that increase. It's a small increase, but compared to the number of cases that we filed in the previous fiscal year, I think it is a bit larger. In regard to our contract, the amount that we ask you is just for the work of the attorneys in cases we filed. So it's not on probation violations, it's not on contempt proceedings, it's not in cases where we have spent time working with law enforcement or the crime victim that we decided to decline prosecution. It does not include legal assistance that work on City of CUNA cases. It does not include victim witness coordinators. Those victim witness coordinators are also on call. They could be called out in a misdemeanor crime of violence. Most of it is felonies, but they can be called out for misdemeanor crimes of violence. Most common is a domestic battery charge. And it does not include work from our restitution department that works to basically file and compile and then file requests for restitution in criminal cases. Last year, the Idaho Supreme Court had Ada County switch software. And so that was supposed to be something that was supposed to be bring efficiencies to, I already slipped, that's how I feel about it, efficiencies to us, and it did not. So it's been tough. That caused a big delay for me to get you reports. You probably noticed the format of the report is different. I think it's still probably the same. I think it actually gives you a little bit more information than you had before. Now you can see the crime. The person that we filed the charge or that had a probable cause arrest. And so there's still the same number. If there's any issue in those reports, I'm happy to modify it or maybe provide a summary in my email to you if that's something that you would want. But we appreciate the contract that we have with the City of CUNA. It's a nice, I think, partnership that we have with the Sheriff's Office that we get to work on these misdemeanor cases. I know from hearing Chief ask for his request, I just would add that the amount of felony cases that Ada County has prosecuted has skyrocketed over the past couple years. The statistic that Jan shared with me today, or Ms. Bennett shared with me today, is that this past year we've had 46% more felony cases than we did in the year 2013. Wow. And that's significant. Obviously affects law enforcement. It's not a cost that we bring to you because this is a misdemeanor contract. But we are training these misdemeanor attorneys that appear in your cases to be felony prosecutors. And so that large of an increase made a resource issue for us. We are asking our commissioners for more attorneys. That might affect the magistrate division. There might be another person put in magistrate, though I doubt it. But we are asking for a salary increase as well. If that happens, that doesn't change the request that I made to you today. Any questions about my request?
Okay. Questions from Tamara?
No. Mayor, I just had to comment.
Yeah.
I would like to show appreciation to your department for the last 2 years of increase in fine revenue. If you can give me a double-digit increase, I'd be ecstatic.
The hard part is we just don't have a lot of I will take your compliment, but some of it is just, I think, a little bit of luck that
yeah.
we get people to pay on fines yeah. or pay timely or settle an agreement that puts an emphasis on paying that.
But it's been going in the right direction, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, because I know it does probably make a difference.
Yeah.
So
it helps, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions?
I appreciate coming all the way out here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I like your new building. It's very nice.
Oh, thank you very much. That's his fault.
Oh,
he did.
I was at the old one. There is a nice man that will give directions. He's eating his dinner outside of it right now. So that's where I was. Any other questions or comments?
No.
No.
I think
thank
that's
you
it.
Thank you very much.
Mayor, I have one, Ms. Kelly.
Yes.
A COLA given to you by the county commissioners won't affect this like it will the police department then.
No, and we don't have COLAs.
Okay.
In that way,
okay.
We can the county commissioners in general would give just the employees of Ada County an increase. It's usually somewhere from 0 to 3%. And so maybe next year when I'm in front of you, I may have a higher cost for the attorneys. And so it would be this. It's just delayed that I would ask for that. But it would not affect this year's.
If my math is correct, you're only asking for $1,758. $1,000 more this year than last year. My math that bad. Roughly $1,800.
Pretty good math, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, just okay. The number of cases decreased from 283 to 246. So okay. It is just a little bit less in misdemeanor prosecution.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming out.
Thank you.
Okay, budget workshop. So, John, do you want to go over that anymore? Or are you?
Yeah, I'll just make it real brief, Mayor.
Okay.
Okay, once again, Mayor and Council for the record, John Marsh. Just want to go back through the items that were presented to you, keep it real brief. If there's any further direction that you can give us, if you prepare to present to the rest of the budget, that would certainly be helpful. I'll go through them one by one. Mr. Smith, on the economic development person, is there any direction, any other information you need for us to move forward?
So that one we actually haven't provided council with a budget. We need to get that put together through Wendy's office so that we can give them some numbers to go with that. So because we what we'd talked about was not only funding for that position, but also giving that person a budget, and of course they'll need a computer and a couple of things like that, and telephone and yada yada. So we'll get those numbers put together and presented to you.
I would think, Mayor, that we would look at other cities and what they're paying. I'm not sure if $50,000 may be low for a qualified applicant.
We've actually Wendy's actually done some quite a bit of research on that. We've also got put together, which we can add on to that if you'd like, job description and all of those types of things to go with that. But Wendy's actually done quite a bit of research on that from here. We didn't send her to Burley for that, but so those we'll have to get to council on that one.
Mayor,
yes,
John. My opinion on all this is, I mean, I'm not opposed to any of it. I can't agree to any of it without we see the total numbers. But if you want to do what you've done in the past and just pencil it in as a line item, and then we can discuss it during the budget item whether to add it or take it out, I personally would have no problem looking at it that way.
Okay. Agreed.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, I'll move on to the next one. Any of the comments from Mr. Saldano on the request for Arts Commission?
Again, I think that's
yeah,
what
so, yeah. I'll just do all of them that way. I just bring us the numbers.
Insert them as a request, and then we can look at them as to the contingency carryover.
Okay, excellent. All right, I'll leave it at that. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thanks, John.
John, how do I get rid of this?
What did you do?
I didn't touch it. You gave it to me like that.
Council Member Cardoza, please don't touch the computers. Okay, that leads us right into item 8A, consideration to approve resolution number R43-2017. Authorizing the destruction of certain records, Chris Engel, City Clerk. This is a resolution of the City Council of Cuna, Idaho, authorizing the destruction of certain records.
thank you, Mayor and Council. This is similar to others that I've brought forward to you. These are temporary or semi-permanent records, and they require Council's approval for me to destroy them. They're not permanent in nature, so we've met the time that we need to hold them. So I ask Council's consideration and approval and stand for any questions.
And there is a list provided in the packet there. They've actually gotten through quite a bit of those things. And would you say you have about two pallets ready to go?
We have two pallets of permanent records that I'll be asking for permission to transfer to State Archives at the next Council meeting. And then we have cleared out, we have another two pallets. This is two pallets worth of documents. that we'll be able to destroy. And then we have cleared out another pallet and a half of permanent records that have been scanned and indexed. So we are making some great progress. Thank you, though, for allowing us to have some staff help.
I move we approve resolution number R43-2017.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R43-2017. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 8B, consideration to approve resolution number R44-2017, amending city parks and public property fees pertaining to City Hall parking lot. Richard Rhodes.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. For the record, Richard Rhodes. Before you is a resolution amending resolution R21-2017. As you'll see on the map at the back of that document, originally, as you'll recall, we had sectioned off the City Hall parking lot into two sections, which would be north and center. There has been some use and some interest in continued use for what's now termed the north section. So this is just amending that resolution so we can charge the appropriate fees for the north section, so there will be three sections now. I will stand for any questions.
And then I'll add on to that a little bit. So kind of how we got here today is during the last discussion that we had on this, there was a map that was presented to council that had two squares drawn on it. That map was never entered as a matter of record. So
it's in there. It's in the minutes. Well, last page of the minutes.
We added that just the other day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So reading by the minutes and the discussion, the discussion was not to use the two wings. And so as you look at the map, you can see that that outer part would be considered wings. That's where the miscommunication came from. So when that SEP was approved, that section out there on the end in the parking lot was included. So that was a mistake because that map wasn't put into record. So as we were looking through that and reading through the minutes and Chris explained what she had done, I went back into my folder and found a copy of that map and presented it to Chris. And so she did enter it into the record now in the minutes so that it is actually part of the record. So that brings us fast forward to today where the SEPs have been approved for that. So to get us out of a bind, we need to kind of, and get us through this year. We can reevaluate this for next year if that's what council wants to do, but kind of the easiest way to take care of this right now is just to divide this into a third section that's rentable for the same rate at $50. And Richard said that we can do that expansion without having to publish and advertise and go through all that. So that's kind of how we got here today. Any
quick question, Mayor?
Yeah.
Why on the north section, why doesn't the line go north and south evenly? Why does it vary over to the parking there? On the north section on the east side, it jets out. Why doesn't it go straight up and down even with the lawn?
I think it's just the parking spaces in that area.
There has been an interest in renting those parking spaces and using those parking spaces by SEP vendors.
So everything east and west of that will be available for the green belt.
Everything on the west side is marked now during an event as green belt parking. On the east side of the red line is vendor parking or attendee parking.
Okay.
I guess my only concerns are, so to the right, so on the east of the north section, is there parking? Like, are there parking spots there? I thought it was just a drive-through. Okay.
Yes.
So what?
No, there's no parking spaces in that area.
Right.
Besides those in that end.
I'm just concerned if we are necessarily going to be burdening like Sandstone Plaza or other areas with parking because we're not including parking for an event held here. Does that make sense?
And I haven't been to an event, so you can see on the map there's the vehicles, mostly white vehicles down there. I don't know if that's been enough for the events or if we've had overflow parking issues. We can certainly monitor that, and if we have to bring it back for a modification, we can. I'm not aware of there being any parking problems.
How do we... I mean, I could see a situation arise where, like, all three sections are rented not by the same person or something, and then I just don't know, like, do we divide them up in some way, or is there a certain number of parking spaces one is entitled to as part of their reservation?
We have not reached that detail on the parking issue.
Chris can probably answer the way those are rented out.
So right now they require a SEP. So the special event plans, if there's one in place, then we don't allow mobile vendors or that kind of thing within 750 feet unless that event approves it. So we don't layer in special events unless one approves the next, so on. If it's a private event, which we've not been approached by a private event, but I mean I could see somebody wanting to do a picnic and throw up basketball hoops or whatever. I think at that point we would definitely take a look at if all three are being rented out, what will be the parking plan? Because we always require a parking plan, and we would try and facilitate it at that point. We have not had it come up yet, though.
Okay. So far just 10 spaces for the entire parking lot. We've not had to have people park anywhere else for anything?
I have not attended the event, but I haven't had any parking complaints from outside. Typically, the community is really good about letting us know if they feel like there wasn't enough parking available or it was dangerous to cross the street and those kind of things, and they have not had any feedback from that.
Okay. Yeah, my biggest concern is, I guess, just burdening the parking lots of other businesses.
So we do... Part of the special event plan is we let them know that if they want to park or they want to use, we have one coming up this Saturday, and they needed space in Sandstone to do some unload for a bike race. So we don't allow that unless they provide us a letter from the property owner. So we won't let them include that space in their parking plan or their special event plan unless they have a written letter from the property owner.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yeah.
To answer your question, Brianna, a couple weekends ago they had something in the parking lot and I drove by and cars were parked down School Street all the way down to the gymnasium, across the front of the gymnasium, and then over at Sandstone. The north end, they were pretty much filled that up. So I guess we have Anna here. I don't know if she has any input as to parking there since you're the owner of it. What's your feelings about people parking there?
Chris approached, well, not Chris, but I did get a person that had applied for a permit for this weekend, requesting a letter authorizing her to use our property for parking. So right now I'm okay with it because we're not there yet, but I don't know how that's going to be when we're there full-time and have all the spaces filled. So.
Well, and I feel bad for, like, Hippie Swirl and the vape shop and stuff that's already there. Like, if we're taking up... if we're letting our events take up all of their parking or making it harder for them to have, like, regular customers or whatever. That's my biggest concern with, like, taking, like, half or more of the parking and including it as a rental spot. And I also don't want to put it on you, like, well, like, you know, making you feel like you have to say yes all the time or what, or you're the bad guy instead of us when we're creating the problem in the first place.
If you don't move, we don't have a problem.
So, yeah, so like I said, right now I'm okay with it, but as soon as we move there, that might be an issue. But well, I guess we'll look at that when it comes around.
Right now, I think whatever they're having is over by the time Cowgirls starts using that lot. But if you have a restaurant there and you're open till 10, it's going to be a problem. So.
Well, I'm kind of like I said, if we can get through this year, then we can reevaluate and figure out what needs to be done differently, or maybe it becomes problematic and we can't do the parking lot here.
Yeah, we'll just have Bobby and Bob tear out the grass and asphalt it over there.
Yeah, I guess so. My comment as we approve this would be just if we can try to keep a really close eye on what's happening with the parking, and if we are, because like I said, I don't want to make other people the bad guy just because we don't want to take responsibility for a problem that we're causing, you know what I mean? Sure. But I still want to be able to offer this to people if they want to rent it and that sort of thing. So just keeping an eye on that so we can figure out if we need to make changes before they become a really big problem.
And the other thing we recommend to them is that if they think they're going to have a lot of parking, to talk to the school district about any rules to encouraging parking up at Indian Creek, because it's just a short walk as well. So, okay, noted.
Lucky for us, we'll have two policemen that can enforce the law.
Richard, I will try to make this short for you. One of the discussions that we had when this originally came up was that we were not wanting to discuss the grass area due to possible renovations that are being in place. Are we no longer doing the renovations now that we were considering?
I think what we're trying to do is get to the end of this year. I don't believe any renovations are planned between now and the end of the year. If they are, we'll certainly come back. But we just wanted to get this to the end of the season. We covered it correctly for the use and then reevaluate it. And I believe Bobby had indicated that they were contemplating the gazebo up there, but I don't know what the time frame is for the construction of that. But certainly once that goes in, unless that's an amenity that may improve that for the rentability, we'll just have to evaluate it at the time.
I guess my biggest concern is the loss of the parking spaces. And I think my numbers are probably maybe off one or two parking spaces, but I believe there's, 110 parking spaces out there. Approximately 60 are contained in the south and center spot. So over half are already been taken away or being used, I should say. And then you're looking at another 7 on each side of that grass area. So there's another 14 that have not been available. I have no problem if we want to discuss renting out just the grass area. I mean, vendors can set up on grass. If that's all we're considering is putting vendors, I think there's enough space on the grass to do everything that they need. Worst case, you can have an entrance where that one little island is on the north side of the center section, a walking path in there. I think the grass is big enough to accommodate the vendors and still allow the additional, not losing any parking spaces. I don't know how the other council members feel on that, but I think that would, I would think that would be a good compromise to save all the parking spaces for the patrons of the events and then allow them to give extra room that they need to expand and whatever they need to do.
Or as a medium, could we just jog that east line over so all of them have the same kind of boundaries? Because that would free up, another split pass at 7, I think.
The only thing that I've struggled with that, and I have no problem doing that, is that on that side, that's typically been allotted the greenbelt side.
No, I meant on the so that the lines are flush all the way down, because then in theory we're charging the same for each, more similarly sized block. If that makes sense.
Yeah, but I'd rather take away the patron side, vendor side parking and leave them the 7 for the greenbelt side before taking away the greenbelt side to give them. And that's where, and I understand what you're saying. I mean, I think it would be good that way. So, I mean, I don't have a problem. We can do it that way. If
well,
that's, but
yeah, because I'm wondering if it might be simpler, too, to be able to just put something like signage or whatever that would make it really clear, like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
No, I don't like, I mean, I don't have a problem with that because I like symmetrical things. So, I mean, it looks good that way. And that's fine. If we want to do that, we just you know, we'll give them 7 parking spaces and all the grass. I think that would be fair with me, and then be the same price.
So take off the east side of the wing.
The east side of the wing remains as parking. Give them the west side, the green belt parking side. So you draw that, just extend that one line on the east side straight up.
Just flush it.
Yeah. So they're both lines are flush.
So what we were trying to do was get through this season, since there's already been SEPs issued and paid for throughout the year, through the rest of the year. But I guess we can have to figure out some way to go back and pull those back off and reissue those if that's the way council wants to do this. But basically what we're trying to do present tonight was just get us through this year and get us out of this bind where we've already approved these things. And
well, I agree, Mayor, but I think that we as a city also have to accept the responsibility that we didn't, I mean, we didn't, I guess, inform them or something. I don't know where the miscommunication was, that when the map that was presented to us from staff was not relayed to the person who was submitted or approved for the SEP, that those parking spaces were not made available compared to the map, because the map only included the south and the center and didn't even show those other parking spaces as vendors.
That is true.
So I whatever council wants to do, I mean, I think that, you know, the straight line would be easier, but I don't have a problem with that. I do want to clarify, though, that a temporary vendor is still considered a temporary vendor, and we're not trying to put a temporary vendor under an SEP to allow them to use that parking spaces.
Considering a temporary vendor, Chris may have to answer.
I'm sorry, I don't. Can I get a little clarification?
We're still requiring special event plans for the rental of the parking lot.
That's correct, sir.
And a temporary vendor, a single temporary vendor, cannot request a special event plan that has overnight parking for a length of time on city property.
Which I meant, like for a fireworks stand or something. Like, if, I think an example would be helpful.
Yeah, that would be a good example.
Okay.
I don't really know. And that's not a great answer, but so in the code, as I understand it, that there's certain public parking lots or city-owned parking lots that are excluded, but I don't know that it includes all the parking lots.
It includes the city-owned parking lots.
All of them, or was it Bernie Fisher and the one on Swan?
I think we had it as, my recollection is we had it as the city-owned parking. But I guess to answer your question, we wouldn't prohibit if somebody wanted to rent one, a special event for a day, being the fireworks or somebody else, we would process that as a special event plan.
But how would a temporary, single temporary vendor fall under the special event plan? We don't need to discuss this here, but I want to be very clear. We discussed previously that we were going to discuss that very issue. And I want to make sure that we do still discuss that very issue of how we were going to regulate that before we implement anything. So if we're still in that discussion phase, then we can do it later. I have no problem. But if we're trying to do this tonight, so allow that to happen without the discussion, that doesn't make me very happy.
I'll be happy to sit down and go through the code with you on it. The intent of this is to make sure that we're covering those uses that have been.
So am I understanding this correctly, just so everybody's on the same page? I think you're talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, something like a fireworks stand that would want to be there for a longer period of time, so like overnight use, like leaving it up overnight, that sort of thing. Those are the things you want to make sure we talk about, including like how do we decide who might do it and blah, 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 blah,
correct.
Blah. So, yeah, so I think I believe that is still separate and distinct from what we're talking about right now, which is a special event permit, which would be like a single day use.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we're all on the same page.
And if we are, then exactly, I'm fine with that. And I don't, and I can go either way as far as the both sides of the parking spaces of whatever council. I prefer to get to do one side so it's even lines all the way across. But
I'll
if that puts the city in the bind, I'm willing to also approve that for this year only to get the city out of a bind too. I have no.
So I'll propose this. I would like to reevaluate the parking issue once we get through the season, like whatever we've already maybe sort of allowed. However, I also don't want us to fall in the trap of, well, we already allowed it, so we can't revisit it. So, like, if we're creating a parking problem on adjacent properties, I just want us to make sure that we're okay with coming back and saying, we tried to just, like, fix it the easy way, but it's causing issues, and so now we're going to have to, like, maybe resubmit plans and stuff like that. So I'm fine with going ahead and saying, yep, we're going to do this to correct the problem, but we're just going to make sure we're watching for any other problems that it's causing so that we're not making our whoopsie somebody else's mistake. Does that sound okay for this?
It doesn't. If council would like to direct any new SEPs that are issued, we won't include, if I understand correctly, we wouldn't want to include the north side spaces on the east side. Do I have that direction correct?
Yeah, just basically, yeah. Okay. It would just be a flush rectangle, whole, yeah.
So the SEPs that have issued that include that can continue forward, but anything new that issues out will not include that if they want the whole space.
Yeah, so my approach would be yes, but if we find that the ones we've already issued, which include the parking as part of their use, if we find out that we are creating parking problems elsewhere, we would still be able to revisit it and possibly impose that restriction on existing apps, not just sure. Forthcoming ones.
And I'll talk to the existing SEP holder and see and work through that process with them, and maybe we can get it resolved in a couple different events. And also see if there's a possibility that they can just move up to the grass and leave those open for parking. So okay. I will definitely have that conversation as well.
So is everybody okay with that?
Would it be better just to make a motion to accept the R44-2017 for the current year?
Yeah, I think, but I think we can also follow council's direction on the going forward of all of that. I mean, this will work. We obviously are going to monitor any problems that arise, and if problems arise, we take appropriate action for that. That's kind of the way this will happen.
I wasn't going to put my whole spiel in my motion, but I think Cardoza does raise a good point in terms of, do we want to put a limiting date? Because the map is specifically attached as an exhibit, do we want to include something that mentions, like, I mean, if we're redrawing the line a little bit, How do you want to do this so we make sure that we're
just have the motion include an amendment to the map to remove the east wing on the north okay. section, and then we'll redraw that, and that's what will be attached
okay.
to the fee schedule. So
that would be an exception to the motion then.
Correct.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that, and I'm also okay with Chris's suggestion of going forward, we don't include those, but the ones that have been approved have the right to use it for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and so I think by going ahead and amending the map too, that'll clarify, because then it's effective today. Yeah, that's what the map looks like. Okay. If we're good, then I move we approve resolution. Yep, oh, thank you. Resolution number R44-2017 with a modified map showing the portion of parking on the east side of the north block is not part of the rental.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R44-2017 and to amend the map to show that the east section of the north lot is not part of the rental. Did I get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion?
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Consideration to approve resolution number R45-2017 awarding contract for Orchard Lift Station Replacement Project to Keller Associates Incorporated. Antonio Conti, City Engineering.
Good evening, Antonio Conti. This project has been going on for about a couple of years. The existing Orchard Lift Station was built when the original sewer system for the city of Cuna was built. This station is old, reached the end of its useful life, is that capacity. I think we have a little bit more room, but not much left. So, in the last couple of years, the city has gone through and secured easements from various property owners to provide a location for a new lift station that would serve quite a bit farther east than the current lift station. Actually, the new lift station would be capable of serving all the way down to Falcon Crest, if needed. We went through, because of the complexity of the project, we went through a request for qualification. The city has a list of engineering firms already approved to work within the city, but that was limited to pipeline work, sewer line, water line, PI lines. This is a bit more complicated than that. So we went through, did a formal request for qualification, four firms responded, and Keller was the one that was determined the most qualified. Spent about a month arguing with them on price. The other price was a little high, what they were asking for. And we came to some sort of an agreement on what the price should be to build this. There's a portion that is for the design, and there's a portion that is slated for construction. And it's all laid out in their agreement. What I'm asking for is permission to hire Keller to move forward with this project. The project was budgeted for this year at about $500,000. We already have in the budget for this year. We have slated for next year a little bit more than that for the construction of the project, but the design can be included into this year's budget. The expectation is if we award the contract today or in the next meeting, we should be able to go out to bid in January. We start construction in March. Any questions?
Okay, question?
Antonio, you're satisfied with it, everything, right?
Yes.
Okay, I assume so. Okay, thank you.
Yep. It's been a struggle with Keller. They're trying to push their boundary a little bit. I did my research, talked to a couple of firms around about the standard rates for design for things like this, but no. The contract is, I think, is a fair number, price-wise. I sent it over to Rich to make sure there were no loopholes in the actual contract. I don't speak legal, I only understand numbers in engineering. So.
I appreciate due diligence. Thank you.
Mayor?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Antonio, the lift station is already in the plat for Young's development over there, isn't it?
Correct.
It's right in front of the townhouses. Isn't it already in the budget and accounted for?
It's not in their plan. The police station is a little, this is a map attached, a little further south of that project. I actually met with the landowner last week, and he's looking to move it a little bit. The issue is, FEMA is coming in and looking to redo the flood zone in Cuba. The first map that came around, the entire piece of the property would have been within the flood zone. And that's why I said, I just put it there. I'm not too concerned. Now FEMA is recalculating some of the numbers and realizing they're a little bit off on their determination. So the flood zone is getting shrank. Now that becomes a nice piece of property that's dry in the water. So he wants to move it a little bit. There is no plat approved on that location yet.
Okay.
We have just easements at the moment.
Okay. I thought it was in a right-of-way of the road south of the car wash is what I thought.
What I can say, it's south of the trust shop, the lumber yard. Quite
okay.
A ways south of the lumber yard, right adjacent to the creek.
Okay.
I don't know where the car washes are, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay,
it's
right
it's
on the corner.
Adjacent to the creek, straight south of where the trust shop is.
Okay. But we've allocated $500,000 for this.
Correct.
In the budget. Okay.
And I think
I think originally that was designed to be down there at the bottom part of Orchard, but that was when it was a smaller lift station, and now they've expanded it. You know, over the last couple of years talking about this, I think this lift station got expanded to be bigger, and so okay. I think that's where you're getting that from, because that I was of the same impression too.
How far east is this going to serve, did you say?
All the way to Falcon Crest.
Falcon Crest. Wow. Okay.
We actually have easement secured all the way to Strobel.
I was going to say, I thought it was Strobel, but you're talking all the way to Cloverdale now. Wow.
Yeah, we're easement secured all the way to Strobel.
Okay.
And then from Strobel on, it's going to go north of Strobel and then east on Kuna Road in the right of way. So we're going to have to secure an easement for that portion. But we're looking at the master plan we're working on right now. It'll go all the way to Lockhouse.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions?
I move we approve resolution number R45-2017.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R45-2017. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Motion carries. Thank you. Consideration to approve moving Jake Adams to the building department and hire a new person to fill facilities maintenance position, Bob Bachman.
Council Mayor, for the record, Bob Bachman, Public Works Director. Just real briefly, I'm sure you all had a chance to read my memo. This position I was going to ask for in the upcoming budget, but due to how busy we are, I just don't see any other way of waiting to move forward on this now. This is what I'm asking you guys to do. Basically, there's three of us trying to do it right now, plus our other duties. I went back and checked over the last year. We've averaged 22 inspections a day, plus plan review. So basically, I would stand for any questions you might have. I would ask you to consider this.
Okay, questions for Bob.
Is Jake certified to do all everything you need him to do, or real close? Or
he has 6 months to get certified once he was to step into that role. Okay. He can work under our license, mine and Jerry's, until then.
Okay, so he can still be an apprentice inspector, I guess, an
yes.
easy way to say. Okay, great.
Yes, that's basically what role he'd be filling.
And he's already been training in under Jerry and Bob and doing some of that work, too. So we get to test him out and make sure it works.
Yeah, that was actually real nice. When we hired him in October, I think we allocated 15 hours a week to the building department, so we've been able to train him, make sure he's qualified to do it, make sure he's getting up to speed on it. He's done a really good job. He's a quick learner, and I think he'll be a valuable asset to the building department.
And there's no, and then you want to hire another person, there's no budget issues as far as the additional remaining of the year?
So, the additional person, or moving Jake, however we looked at it, would have to be a contingency fund. So right now we have Jake as in the facilities department. I believe 10% of his income comes out of the building department, so I'd be looking at moving him into the building department and then just replacing his facilities position.
Do we need to approve that number to do this? Do they have a contingency?
Yes.
Do you have that number?
I don't have it right. I'm just looking for direction first to see if we wanted to pursue doing that now or waiting for.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were looking for approval to do it tonight. I'm sorry.
Well, if you would like to.
If that's what you need. I personally don't have a problem if that's what we need.
So the wage would be the exact same that Jake came in October. That would be the wage I'd be requesting. I'd have to look that up and see what that was. But I believe it would be the same as that salary was.
I think if it's enough that you're up here asking for us, I think it's a concern, and I think we need to address it, in my opinion. But.
Yeah, there's just a lot of commercial stuff and, you know, stuff coming that is going to make the demand even higher. So I just really don't see any way around, you know, either now or in October, but preferably now.
And if not, it puts also a burden on planning and zoning, too. I guess building part of planning zoning, but it actually can delay
some other...
It does. It creates a customer service issue more than anything. Planning and zoning has staff that greets the people when they come in, and when the plan reviews are taking longer because we're doing plan review and inspections, then it does definitely create a customer service issue and puts people in an uncomfortable spot to, you know, have to tell them they're waiting 7 or 10 days for a plan review. So, yes, it does hurt a little bit.
It affects more than one department?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Anything further from Bob? So I think the direction is you have the blessing, you may go forward, but let us know the numbers when you get them.
Got it.
Thank you.
By 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay, that brings us to item E, which is the item 4D of the consent agenda. We will let Antonio tell you about that one so he can make sense of it.
Good evening again, Antonio. Item 5D. We just went through and redid the city water master plan through Keller Associates. While working on the plan, there were some deficiencies on the city's water rights. The way the water rights work is each well, and most of you already know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm still learning this, but each well has a point of delivery and a point where you can get water out. As a city, all our wells are interconnected together. Therefore, there needs to be a modification to our permit to allow water from one well to go in an area that wasn't designated for it. Except only cities are allowed to do things like this. Some of the new wells we put in, 10 and 11, are not pulled into the rest of the wells. Last time the city did this was in 2006 when you did your last water master plan. So right now the city has 6 licensed water rights and 1 permitted water rights. The difference is the permitted water rights is just temporary. Allows you to build wells, and then at one point, once the water usage reaches a certain amount, you transfer that into a licensed water right. Your permitted water right will expire in 2018. So we're going to need to renew it for another 5 years. That would be the last renewal. But while doing this, adding the sharing of the water wells between all the different point source, at this point it's about $100 fee to do it, if we add it to the exist. If we need to go in and redo it, it's significant different about, I think it's a $2,500 to $3,000 fee to do so. Just to, you're going to have to redo the entire application. So what we're trying to do is to get ourselves in compliance at this time, because some of our wells are providing water in areas that were not designated for, and prepare for the future when our permitted use will need to become a licensed use. Have I confused everybody yet? Yes, sir.
What did he say?
I'm trying to get us out of trouble. Let's put it that way. In the simplest forms, I've never done this. I've never dealt with water rights. That's why I'm asking for help from people like Keller. They did the last one. They did all the studies, so he's the best qualified to do this type of work. What I'll do, it's for me, is mentoring more than anything else. So when the next time comes around, 5 years from now, I'll be able to do this help. But when the next well, we're going to drill in about 3 to 4 years, I'll be able to do this paperwork. But I'm not willing to take a chance on something of this magnitude at this point.
Okay. So there's nobody qualified?
Within the city?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, they don't know all. Let me rephrase that. They don't know all.
Okay.
Okay. Further questions?
I have a question for Rhodes. Does ICRIMP let us indemnify?
No.
Okay, so there is an indemnity clause in here. It's on page 4 of 7 for 4D1. Also looks like it's page 205 of the whole. Pardon?
Number.
Under standard terms and conditions, it's number 8. Just a hold harmless.
So indemnify the other party for the indemnities negligent acts. So the last part of that, so we would indemnify, if we were negligent, we would indemnify them against any claim made against them for our negligent act, and they would do the same under their insurance policy. So we're not indemnifying their negligence, we're indemnifying any negligence that we commit that they're charged with.
Right. I just wanted to make sure
we were
allowed to include, like, in my job, we're not allowed to include indemnification clauses, period. Because we can end up arguing about whether, you know, it was something we were, anyway. So I just wanted to make sure we weren't getting in trouble with ICRIM by, like, including a term we're not allowed to include.
When that language was reviewed when we were working on that, I discussed that, so.
Okay.
Okay, anything further?
So my question's for Richard Goetz. So you're good with all this and it all looks?
The contract part of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I move we approve resolution number R42-2017.
Second. Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution number R42-2017. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Ordinances. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2017-09, annexing Renaissance Farms LLC and Mason Creek Farms LLC properties, and ordinance annexing certain real properties into the city of Cuna, Idaho, to wit, parcel number S123533-6450, owned by Gavin and Jessica Kemp, successors in interest to owners Doug Roberts and Susan Hickman. Parcel number S123441-7520, owned by Waters Edge Farm LLC, successor in interest to Alan and Catherine Colson. Parcel number R09676601-56, owned by Renaissance Farms. Parcel number R09676601-55, owned by Renaissance Farms LLC. Parcel number S123414-2351, owned by Renaissance Farms LLC. Parcel number S123421-2935, owned by Renaissance Farms LLC. Parcel number S123421-2405, owned by Renaissance Farms LLC. Parcel number S123412-1105, owned by Renaissance Farms LLC. Parcel number R09676601-51, owned by Renaissance Farms LLC. Parcel number S123424-200, owned by Brent and Leslie L. Anderson. Parcel number S123413-1300, owned by Melvin A. and Jeannie A. Spaulding. Parcel number S123534-7051, owned by Mason Creek Farms LLC. All properties situated in the unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the city of Cuna, Idaho, establishing the zoning classification of said real properties, directing that copies of this ordinance be filed as provided by law, and providing an effective date. Please tell me we can waive the three readings on this one.
Was that an actual
question? Is there any reason not to fast-track this one?
No reason not to fast-track it.
Okay.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance number 2017-09.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2017-09. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2017-09.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2017-09. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2017-09.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance 2017-09. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries and it will become law upon a publication. Mayor and council announcements. Does anyone have anything they wish to announce?
Yeah, I just had one question.
Sure.
I saw the Idaho Power. Looks like they were done, but the pole is still there.
Councilman Jones, they're waiting on cable one. That last line that's hanging there is cable ones. They just got to put it underground. Should happen in the next few days, and then the pole will be removed.
Thank you.
Okay. We did actually last Friday have our first meeting, a joint meeting with CUNA and Meridian with P&Z staff and Public Works staff to discuss how best to service those areas out where the recent annexation took place on the other side of Lake Hazel and those areas in Meridian so that we can work together to figure out the best way to take care of that. Mayor Tammy and I agreed that it would be best to let the experts look at that and make a determination on what they felt to be best. And I felt pretty good about the meeting. I think it went really well, and the intent there is for Mayor Tammy and I to step back and let staff deal with it and see what they can come up with and make a suggestion as to what we do and how to best handle that. So obviously any decisions that are made there to adjust area city impact lines or any of that type of thing will come before both councils and that type of thing. But I think the meeting went pretty well. And hopefully we can move forward and get that done fairly rapidly and take care of any other questions going forward with that. So I'm optimistic. Okay, anything else?
Just a reminder, our next council meeting's on a Wednesday.
Correct.
I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code 74-206B for the purpose of discussing a personnel matter.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries, and for the purpose of this, we will just have Council Antonio and Richard.